from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to The Good Atheist. My name is Jacob 14. This is your news for the second half of May 2024. Mentally challenged teenager killed for sacrilege in India. Voltaire famously said, "Anyone who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." Rarely has there been a more perfect encapsulation of the dangers of belief. In India, a young disabled man named Bakshish Singh was beaten to death when a rumor had spread that he had torn pages out of the Guru Granth Sahib, which is the holy text of Sikhism. He reportedly tried to run away after committing the sacrilege and was caught by locals. As the news of the alleged incident spread, villagers gathered at the Gurdwara and beat him. Ah yes, the good old-fashioned mob beatings. You know that it didn't take long for the people to mercilessly pound a young man for the made-up crime of sacrilege. The real crime is the snuffing out of a youth with a history of mental illness. Rather than show compassion, which religious people continue to pretend to have, they showed only the darkest aspect of the human animal. I think it's telling just how brutal religion can be when the veneer of civilization is stretched thin. In rural India, the old ways still dominate, and it's terrifying. How many other countless lives have been lost to the madness of the crowd, drunk off revenge for grievances against their imaginary friends? It all makes me sad, especially when I still overhear talk that we need more religion in our lives. I assure you, we do not. Cords OK Catholic School firing gay teacher. It's moments like this that remind me why I always feel a bitter taste in my mouth every time Christians complain about being persecuted. Imagine making an announcement of your upcoming nuptials, only to then be fired when they found out that the couple was the same sex. How would conservative outlets react if a private school had fired someone for being Christian? By all accounts, Lonnie Billard was a good employee. He has worked for the Charlotte Catholic High School as a teacher for over a decade. He obviously loved his job, but when he announced that he was getting married to a man, the Catholic Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina, decided that he would no longer be welcome there. Naturally, Billard sued the school with the help of the ACLU, but unfortunately, he lost, due to the American legal system now being a branch of the Catholic Church. Never mind that it's a gross violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prevents people from being fired for discriminatory reasons. Apparently, though, the courts have a neat little loophole for something that inconvenient. Circuit Judge Pamela Harris, writing Wednesday's prevailing opinion, said that Billard fell under a ministerial exception of Title VII that courts have derived from the First Amendment that protects religious institutions in how they treat employees who perform tasks so central to their religious missions, even if the tasks themselves do not advertise their religious nature. So, you're a minister even when you're not even discussing your own beliefs. What a load of bullshit. This is nothing but thinly veiled discrimination, under the guise that this is some form of religious exemption. Frankly, it's disgusting. Is America still a country that understands the separation of church and state? I think we can firmly say no. FFRF shuts down elementary school Christian club. Christians will do just about anything to get religion back into schools. As TGA has reported in the past, organizations like LifeWise Academy are just one form of coercion that exists. There are also more sneaky ways that this is accomplished. For instance, in Florida, the Freedom From Religion Foundation was able to shut down a supposed Christian club in Hamilton County Elementary School. The group claimed that it was a spontaneous club started by students there. A cursory investigation showed that this was not the case. The complaint was told that there were no records of the fellowship or an affiliated group renting space in Hamilton Elementary. The response made it clear that the school was allowing a religious club for children in an elementary school during the school day. The club, called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, has since been shut down, and this has upset uneducated Christians who think that it's an unfair ruling. Banning students from having a religious club at a school while permitting other secular clubs is a travesty that teaches children their faith is unwelcome and must be hidden, First Liberty Institute Deputy General Counsel Justin Butterfield told the Christian Post. Of course, religious folks want to inculcate their crap into kids as young as possible and see any attempt to stop this as discrimination. What these clowns fail to realize is that any school club must be the result of the students organizing themselves. Outside influence is not welcome. Parents are still free to brainwash their kids at home. The rest of us taxpayers, however, are uninterested in public schools becoming religious indoctrination centers. Keep your religion to yourself and there won't be a problem. I'm guessing it'll be a cold day in hell when Christians start respecting the rest of us that don't share their little delusions. Iranian filmmaker flees country to avoid prison. Iran has problems. Following the takeover of the Ayatollah at the end of the 70s, the country has been ruled by a theocracy ever since, and this has meant that everyone not following their edicts has been victimized by the regime. In the last several years, the killing of women for failing to wear the hijab has caused mass demonstrations, but has failed to yield any political change as of yet. Recently, a filmmaker by the name of Mohammad Rasulov has fled to Europe after being handed a bullshit 8-year prison sentence. His crime? Rasulov has made films that are critical of the government, and this has made him enemy number one in their eyes. Last week, Rasulov's lawyer told the Associated Press that the director had been sentenced to 8 years in prison, flogging, and confiscation of property by the Islamic Republic. Rasulov's attorney, Babak Paknia, said the filmmaker was being punished for making films and signing statements. Knowing that the news of my new film would be released very soon, I knew that without a doubt, a new sentence would be added to these 8 years, said Rasulov. I didn't have much time to make a decision. I had to choose between prison and leaving Iran. With a heavy heart, I chose exile. The Islamic Republic confiscated my passport in September 2017. Therefore, I had to leave Iran secretly. Rasulov is now in an undisclosed location for his own safety. Even Europe isn't safe, with the amount of fundamentalists living anonymously among the populace. He hopes to be able to show his latest film called The Seeds of the Sacred Fig, which he describes as how insidiously the Iranian dictatorship creeps into families. Considering how many actors in the film also fled the country, Rasulov fears for their safety. If Iran ever hopes to change, it's going to need more men like Rasulov and his peers, bravely taking on their government at the risk of their own lives. That, my friend, is true bravery. GOP rep claims teachers are censoring creationism. It drives me crazy every time religious funnies talk about evolution. The only thing they seem to understand about it is that it threatens their view that their creator God made the world as it is today. So, rather than actually trying to bother to grasp the fundamentals of the most tested and verified scientific theory of all time, they instead argue that their version of cosmic events is being suppressed. The last dummy to chime in is Minnesota State Representative Glenn Grunhagen. Fresh off an ethics complaint for sending graphic videos of gender-affirming surgery, he's now arguing that creationism is being undermined by the big meanies in the sciences. And because the man has absolutely no idea what the scientific method is, he says dumb shit like this. In science, I find a lot of censorship, lies, and deceit. you know, there's a lots of scientific evidence that points to a creator or God, and I'll just give you two. One is the law of cause and effect. For every effect, there's a greater cause. You have the earth. Somebody made it. You have the universe. Somebody created. That is a respectable, observable scientific fact. And yet, we censor that from our students. Let's quickly deal with this first argument. We've all gotten pretty tired of the first cause argument, since it actually never solves anything. Claiming that God is the first cause only opens up a larger problem of what caused God. The classic response that offers no answer at all is always the same. God doesn't need a first cause. The problem with this pathetic answer is that it destroys the very premise of the argument, that all effects need a cause. Clearly, that isn't true for at least one part of the universe. So why should it be for the rest? Answers that only lead to more questions do a poor job of proving anything. In any case, this type of argument belongs in a philosophy class, and not in a biology one. As for his other comments about censorship, creationists fail to realize that in order to teach something, you need to actually have a working theory. The God did it answer is just about the laziest and least satisfying thing a person can learn. There's a huge difference between discussing a scientific theory like evolution and arguing that Sky Daddy made everything. A theory with a capital T is falsifiable, testable, and can be demonstrated using multiple different threads of evidence. Creationism, on the other hand, is unfalsifiable, unprovable, and worst of all, makes absolutely zero predictions. That means that research into genetic diseases, antibiotic resistance, and other vital discoveries would all be useless if we spent even an iota of time on the ridiculousness that is creationism. Of course, Glenn is not a scientist. There is no test measuring the intelligence of U.S. senators or congressmen. I have a feeling that if there were, half of their members would test no better than a Cocker Spaniel would. Intelligence is in short supply in the government, and Grünhagen is yet another poster child for why it's so important to actually teach people reality rather than fantasy. Football dummy tells graduating women to stay in the kitchen. I've always found it a useful exercise to put myself in the shoes of others. As a writer, there are immense advantages to doing so. I am not a young woman graduating from college, but I know that if I were, I would have been fuming if the commencement speaker was telling me that I would be better off barefoot in preggers rather than starting a career with a degree I worked so hard for. That's the situation the women at Benedictine College, a Catholic school located in Texas, found themselves in. The speaker was a pro athlete named Harrison Butker, who is a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, and has been an outspoken homophobe for quite some time. Given the moon in Catholic spheres, this seems like a perfect person to invite to inspire the next generation of graduates. After making a swipe at gays for having the gall of having a Pride Month, he went on to tell the ladies in the audience this jam. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and a mother. I'm on the stage and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker. Butker seemed genuinely choked up by this, as though this was some great revelatory thing that required bravery. The audience cheered, though I would have loved to see the faces of their members there. To the ladies who clapped, I have to wonder what you were doing there in the first place. What is the point of a degree when it never gets put to use? Keep in mind that Butker can actually afford to live on one income, thanks to the fact that a professional sports team pays him millions of dollars for occasionally kicking a football. This kind of privilege is so rare that only a handful of people on Earth have this luxury. The rest of us who have to work for a living often have to compromise, and two working parents is now needed to put food on the table. The rest of his speech is the kind of unhinged religious nonsense you've come to expect from the religious right. The sad truth is that this mentality still resonates with a good portion of people out there who long for a perceived simpler time, depicted in fantasy TV shows as the model of living. This would have been the same time America was at war, segregation was at its height, and the poverty rate was around 22%. It's now closer to about 9. So, you know, the good old days. Canadian school board cancels ISIS survivor talk over Islamophobia fears. In Iraq, there is a religious minority that is constantly being persecuted. Although they speak Kurdish, there is some disagreement as to whether or not they are a distinct subgroup of Kurds. What is clear is that the faith is ancient, predating Zoroastrianism. They are a monotheistic faith that has a strong affinity to nature, believing that the elements should remain free of pollution. Some call them sun worshippers, for they face the sun whenever they pray. They only marry within their faith, which has kept them separate from others for the last 900 years. As you might imagine, a non-religious ethnic group is not very welcome in a country with strong Islamic presence. Its members are regularly attacked, and one of the more popular ways to do so is to sexually assault young women. They are often kidnapped and sold in an endless cycle of sexual slavery whenever their rapists tire of them. In light of these atrocities, the Canadian government began to take in refugees. Among them was a young woman named Nadia Murad, who recently won a shared Nobel Peace Prize for her efforts to end the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. All of this sounds wonderful, until you realize that the same government who allowed these refugees in the country have no interest in them sharing their story. You see, a couple of days ago, a Canadian school board had invited Murad to speak about her experiences. The event was canceled for fear that her talk would cause hurt feelings and Islamophobia. School board superintendent Helen Fisher pulled the plug on Murad's visit, stating she would not let students attend because the book would be offensive to Muslims and foster Islamophobia, the Telegraph reported. Let's recap here. The school was worried that actually learning about Islam's crimes against humanity might make some students critical of the religion. What else are we supposed to do with these survivors? Ask them to quietly go away so they stop exposing the evils of this religion? The West continues to bury its head in the sand at its own peril. You cannot ignore the dangers of Islam, wishing to avoid revealing the truth about the faith in order to protect the feelings of a religion that craves world domination. Truth is often upsetting to people who live in a world of lies. Let's also not ignore the fact that when Islam feels insulted, people often die. The religion is so insecure that countless adherents are more than willing to hurt or even kill anyone who dares insult it. These wackos need to learn that free expression is the price you pay for living in a democracy. If you dislike it, there are plenty of hellhole theocracies you can move to. Catering to these deadly temper tantrums will do nothing but undermine the very values we stand for. Here's hoping that this move actually backfires, and Murad is invited to more schools to share her experiences. I can dream, can't I? Creepy abstinence speaker to give all-girls school a visit. A school in Australia is about to host an abstinence speaker for an all-girls Catholic school, and as a result, they are getting pushback from parents, who rightly feel that a grown man telling little girls not to have sex is the height of creepiness. The speaker, a man by the name of Jason Everett, is an old hand when it comes to telling people to stop touching themselves and others. Some of his events have been canceled. For instance, when he was recently invited to Ireland to give the same weird lecture, the parents shut that down before it even started. A petition is now circulating, but the school still plans to invite this creep to tell young girls that they shouldn't have sex. The way they are defending the decision is quite hilariously stupid. A representative for the students of St. Joseph's, who did not want to be named, said the session was not appropriate, especially in light of recent speech given in a Catholic university in America, where a man said the degrees are useless because women should be housewives. He's referring to the football player Harrison Butker, an obviously closeted kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs that has made headlines for his 1950s area speech, where he told women they were better off as homemakers. Somehow, this seemed to prove that there is an appetite for this kind of meddling in the affairs of women. Many parents are planning on pulling their daughters from school when this judgmental asshole shows up. Luckily, it was only after they complained that the school decided to reverse its policy to make the talk mandatory. Here's hoping that this clown shows up to an empty auditorium. Louisiana forces school to display 10 Commandments. Christians and their goddamn 10 Commandments. You would think that these 10 laws are the most important rules on earth. In reality, with the exception of its prohibition against murder and theft, the rest of these laws are useless. 3 of them are all about God wanting to be recognized and not to celebrate other deities. Then there's the warning to listen to your parents, which sounds great until you realize that it also says that kids who disobey need to be stoned to death. There's mention of not cheating on your spouse, but realistically, this is the most busted of all commandments. So while the 10 Commandments are fine for those of us who have not taken a modern civics class, one thing is for sure. It does not belong in public schools. Well, that's something the state of Louisiana and I seem to disagree about. You see, schools across the state are now being forced to display the 10 Commandments in classrooms, presumably to continue to shove Christianity in our faces. The purpose is not solely religious, Senator Jay Morris told the Senate. Rather, it's the 10 Commandments' historical significance, which is simply one of the many documents that display the history of our country and foundation of our legal system. The foundation of your legal system? Hardly. You wouldn't be able to govern a group of people, let alone a country, with such a limited document. In reality, it's nothing more than poorly disguised sectarianism pretending to be education. All of this is only going to initiate countless lawsuits, which is going to cost the state a pretty penny. We're going to spend valuable state resources defending the law when we really need to be teaching our kids how to read and write, Du Plessis, a practicing Catholic senator, said. I don't think this is appropriate for us to mandate. And now you know the priorities of senators like Jay Morris. Spend countless resources trying to pretend that Christianity is integral to the nation when it's nothing more than a major hindrance. Enjoy the lawsuits, morons. And with that, I'd like to thank all my Patreon members and my listeners for tuning in. Have a good Atheist Day, everybody. Thank you.